Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. This election season, especially the runaway success of Bernie Sanders, has raised questions about whether the United States would or could integrate a more socialist system. For many Americans, stories of paid parental leave, free college education, and health care are just that, stories. That may work in Scandinavia, but not here, at least if we value the freedom that comes with capitalism. Journalist Anu Partanen came to America from Finland, full of respect for American optimism, ingenuity, and social mobility. Instead, she found anxiety, frustration, and exhaustion. Her book, The Nordic Theory of Everything, argues that Nordic policies don't work because, as many Americans believe, Finns, Swedes, and Danes have a natural affinity for each other. They work because they benefit everyone's self-interest. We first read about her theory in The Atlantic, where she wrote the article, What Americans Don't Get About Nordic Countries. And Anu, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You are now a U.S. citizen living in New York City. When you first came here, what was your understanding of the American dream?
For me, certainly, I had visited the U.S. before I moved here in 2008. I certainly assume that there's this energy and optimism and American dream is that you children might do better than their parents and you have your house, you make enough money to have that sort of comfortable middle class existence. But in reality, when I moved here, I really discovered that actually I had no idea what American society is like and how it works and how times have changed and how difficult it can be to reach that American dream that we kind of everywhere, and I think in America too, have taken for granted that Americans are the richest of all, that the American middle class is the wealthiest of all. And that's kind of what I assumed as well coming in. But I discovered that there was much that I didn't know.
And you found yourself anxious, mystified by these elements of everyday life that you were not used to, certainly. Like what? And how was that different from how you and other people lived in Finland?
So, for example, American healthcare is just baffling. I think people, you kind of have an idea that, oh, I've heard that Americans maybe pay, you know, a lot for their healthcare. But to me, it was so surprising. For example, I just had not understood at all when I started hearing Americans talk about that jobs that come with benefits or whether it comes or not with benefits. And in Finland, job benefits are, you know, lunch vouchers or maybe your employer supports you going to the gym. And I didn't really understand what the big deal was. And it really took me a long time to try to figure out how American health insurance works and what does it have to do with employers. Then, of course, I don't have children yet, but following my friends and family around, I started to, you know, hear all these snippets of all this education stuff, like that, how they were looking for into schools and comparing preschools and sending out applications and comparing prices. And all to me was also baffling because in Finland, people don't really do that. They, of course, might talk about their children's schools, but it's very different. Most children go to public school that's next door and you don't pay for education.
Well, your essays in the book focus on four key relationships: parents and children, men and women, employers and employees, government and citizens. And what I found running through them is, in America, we have this notion of independence. You know, everybody is making their lives for themselves. But you observe in several of these essays and in several of these cases, utter dependency. Like what?
When I first came here, you kind of assume that Americans are very free. They move freely from one city to the next. The whole idea of America is that you're very free to be who you want to be and make your own way independently. So I was a little bit baffled at first when I started looking around. And the first thing I was thinking about were women. And in American popular culture, there's often this search for the perfect husband. And I had always thought that that's just sort of an exaggeration. And when I came here, I started to realize that people really actually have to think about their finances very carefully when they get married and if they want to have children, because that's how American society works. If you have a child, if one of you wants to stay home on parental leave, often the woman, then if your employer doesn't pay for it, obviously most don't. So then one of you has to be earning enough money. Or if you want to stay home, maybe you have to quit your job because you don't have long enough of parental leave. So then again, one person stays and works, and often it's the man. So these kinds of questions that I was not familiar with at all, because in Finland, it is very much assumed that because there's a universal policy of paid parental leaves, that both parents stay home for a while to take care of the kid. Your job waits for you while you do this. You get paid and then you go back to work. So then the assumption is that both parents work, and there isn't any of this calculation like whose salary is going to pay for what and are both going to be able to work. So this was very surprising to me. And this relates to healthcare as well. It was very surprising to me to realize that in the US, often the whole family is on one person's healthcare, which or health insurance, and this insurance comes through that person's employer, which then makes the whole family, in a sense, dependent on that employer and the employer's choices of plans and insurance. And this, too, was kind of shocking to me.
So it sounds like, you know, you're describing what everyone describes as the sort of Nordic paradise, you know, the northern countries paradise that we do not have in the U.S. And there are a lot of reasons that in the past there has not been political will to create those kind of societies. And this is largely based on the tax burden. Now, the tax burden in the U.S. is the lowest of any Western economy. I'm looking at, you know, income tax rates, top marginal income tax rates here for countries like Denmark, 60.4%, Sweden, 56.9%. There's a lot, especially during this election cycle, that we've seen of voters rejecting establishment politics en masse because of the idea of overspending, because of the idea of a nanny state that can tell you what to do or what not to do. So is that just a fundamental difference that cannot be overcome?
Well, I think when we discuss taxes, there's no point discussing taxes unless we discuss what are we getting for our taxes. Of course, nobody wants to pay huge amounts of taxes if you don't get anything in return. And I think this is often lost in the American discussion, partly because right now in the U.S., many middle-class people feel that they don't actually get much for their taxes. So why would you want to pay more for taxes? Whereas in Nordic countries, I think people see it more as I am paying these taxes so that these services are arranged for me. And so this ends up saving everyone money and saving everyone time. And this is one thing that I often encounter in America, that I feel that Americans have sort of, they miss the key point of what the Nordic well-being state, as I like to call it, rather than welfare state, because in American mind, the term welfare state often means that, oh, it's a state where the government gives money to the poor. It takes from the rich, it gives to the poor, and it creates dependency in the poor people, and nobody wants that. Well, I agree, nobody wants that. Now, Nordic people don't want that either. And for example, in my language, in Finnish, the term that we use for welfare state, it doesn't have anything to do with the concept of being on welfare. These are completely different concepts. So I would talk about well-being state. And the idea is that everybody, the middle class, pays for these services. And by these services, I mean the publicly subsidized daycare, universal health care. In the U.S., this is a flat tax. So both people who of less means and people of more means are going to pay about the same for daycare, unless the quality is very, very different. Whereas in Nordic countries, if you finance these through progressive income taxes, then obviously everybody, in a sense, pays according to means.
Many Americans have an idea that Nordic countries are some sort of socialist paradise where everybody looks alike and makes just about the same amount of money. Well, they're also not stressed out and anxious, says our guest Anu Partanen. She's a journalist and author of a book called The Nordic Theory of Everything. It's a collection of very even-handed essays looking at and comparing life in five Nordic countries and the United States. Well, American dynamism has been fueled by waves of immigration through the years. And in Nordic countries, there has been increased violence spurred on by racism, anti-immigration movements, especially in Sweden. Finland's government is now proposing income requirements for Finns and foreigners under humanitarian protection who want to live in Finland with non-EU partners. So this idea that yes, you can exist in this kind of egalitarian society. I'm not going to call it a socialist paradise. But is that egalitarian society only work if the society is basically closed?
I don't believe that. I mean, sure, there's challenges. Like the immigration situation in Europe now is, of course, very difficult. All of a sudden, huge numbers of refugees have come in, and certainly Nordic countries have struggled with integrating them and providing for everyone. And the populist anti-immigration movements have picked up pace in all these countries, as one might say in the US as well with Trump. And I think it poses problems in a sense that, of course, the whole system works because you have to have people who work, they pay taxes, then they get these benefits. Then all of a sudden, if you get a huge numbers of people who come in who haven't been part of the system all along and who need services, certainly that can be like a technical problem. But I don't think it's a problem that means that a Nordic-style model cannot work unless you close borders. I mean, Nordic countries are actually very open countries in a sense that they're more open to free trade than the United States. And I think that's partly because, of course, the free trade, it comes with problems. It comes with loss of jobs. It comes with moving factories abroad. This has happened in Nordic countries as well. But if you have a society where sort of the basic services are provided for everyone, then there's less resistance because people don't just, you know, fall through the safety net and are left with nothing. So in that sense, I think Nordic countries are actually in many ways fairly opened and not closed.
Well, and of course, there's a strong competitive streak in American culture as well, in the American character. And how does that figure in here? You know, business innovation. A capitalist system is trumpeted as becoming a crucible for ingenuity because if somebody can find success, if they can find a great product, if they can sell it to people, they can be wealthy, they can be rich. So how do you compare that to the motivation for an entrepreneur in a Nordic country?
Partly there's truth to that in a sense, of course, that America is a very innovative, great country for entrepreneurs. I mean, that's fantastic. That's one of the things I love about America. But I think that in that case, Americans sort of miss that Nordic countries actually have produced numerous innovations. Finland had for several decades, Nokia was the largest mobile cell phone maker in the world, and it was based in Finland. And Finland is a country of 5 million people, and it produced this company. Sweden has all these companies that Americans by now probably know well. H&M, the clothing store, the Spotify, the music service that everyone uses. Skype was developed by a Swede with Estonian help. Another point I'd like to make is that is often, I think, missed, that for entrepreneurs, for example, having some sort of universal health insurance is great because you start a company, first of all, then you already have healthcare for yourself, you have healthcare for your children. If your company fails, and most startups fail, then that doesn't mean that, oh, well, I'm now unemployed and without health insurance for my whole family. So this kind of allows you also to take these risks and be sure that, okay, so at least I'm not immediately destroying my children's, you know, and family's future.
So what do you think, Anu, having lived here for a few years, is the biggest impediment to America as a whole embracing this kind of idea of more Nordic, egalitarian, socially mobile society?
Obviously, you can see that Bernie Sanders supporters, this is a big movement. A lot of people clearly would like to see more Nordic-style social policies and movement towards that. I think the Trump movement is also very unhappy with the state of America now and state of their opportunity and feeling that their life is not going to get better. But they have a little bit of a different approach. What would help? And their approach is maybe stopping free trade or anti-immigration. So what stops America? I think partly things that I've discussed here that I think people maybe have sort of bad experiences or wrong ideas about what it would mean and how it would work and who it would help if we had these policies, like who would pay and who would benefit. I also find it curious that Americans are the most can-do people of the world, anyone that I know. But then when it comes to government, all of a sudden it's like all this can-do spirit is just lost. I see like people have almost, you know, eyes glaze over and it's like, no, cannot happen. No, never. Impossible. Government does not work. What happened to that can-do spirit? And these things have worked in the past. You know, there are examples of what American government does very well. You know, people like Medicare, Social Security. Many of these initiatives could be done closer to home. So in states or in cities, it doesn't have to be necessarily starting from federal government. So I really feel like you could do a lot. And maybe it's just this general sort of, we need a little bit of rethinking of what government could do and whom it could benefit and how it all could work.
Well, Anu, you came here for love, which I think is the best reason that one can move anywhere. You're staying?
Yeah, for now at least. I mean, there are so many things I love about America. I'm happy here, but I do think that America makes life unnecessarily difficult for a vast majority of Americans. So I think there's always room for improvement, both in Nordic countries and in the United States.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anu Partanen, she's a journalist whose work has appeared in the New York Times and The Atlantic, among other places. You'll find a link to more on her book, The Nordic Theory of Everything. That's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.